table has been set. The stage has been set. The Apostle Paul had been rescued by a chief captain by the name of Lysias, or Claudius Lysias, chief captain underneath the governor Felix. He rescued Paul from Jews who had taken on a mob mentality. They were going to take his life. Back in Acts chapter number 23, the Bible says in verse number 27, this man was taken of the Jews. We see verse 26, this chief captain, Claudius Lysias, under the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greeting. He's writing a letter, said, this man, talking about the Apostle Paul, he was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. He said, but I came with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. When I would have known the cause whereof they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but in having nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. They were going to kill the Apostle Paul. Rescued by this chief captain, sent and established a time in which the Apostle Paul could meet with Felix with those accusers. A hearing was set in which these accusers, those religious Jews, along with the accused, the Apostle Paul, would stand before the governor, Felix, presenting their arguments. And listen, the Apostle Paul was more than happy to speak. He knew that Felix understood so much of Jewish history, which meant he had heard of the promised Messiah, the coming of the Messiah. I believe as he heard the Apostle Paul preach and give his testimony and explain what he was doing, that it piqued his interest enough that it caused him to defer. We see in chapter 24 and verse number 22 says, when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I'll know the uttermost of the matter. I believe that it piqued his interest enough that it caused him to defer or to put off, like a politician would do, put off this hearing until a day that the chief captain who had rescued him to begin with could come and tell his side of the story. So there you have it. The accusers have gone. We're in a waiting place for the chief captain to come down. Felix, the governor, is there in essence alone with the Apostle Paul, or has the ability to be alone and hear the Apostle Paul. An opportunity in which this governor, who I believe wanted to hear the message of Christ, we see that in verse number 24, the last phrase there, and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. This governor, who desired to hear the message of Christ, was now able to have a private audience with the Apostle Paul concerning the faith of Jesus Christ. Man, what an opportunity. And you can imagine the conviction that was taking place. We read about it, but just think about this. The power of the Word of God at work. The Bible says he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment. We see not only that, but we recognize that when the power of the Word of God is working, then the pull of the Spirit of God is at work as well. It's something how Paul reasoned with Felix about the same way that the Holy Spirit would come to this earth. Remember, the Lord said, when he shall come, the Comforter, he shall reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so we have the power of the Word of God, we have the pull of the Spirit of God, and we have the passion of the man of God. You can just imagine that situation. Paul, who said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said that I wish that myself could be accursed for his kinsmen according to the flesh. He wanted people to be saved, the passion of the man of God. And when you couple that with, fourthly, the piqued interest of the sinner before God, Felix, it is no wonder why we read the words, Felix trembled. Felix trembled. Have you ever felt that kind of conviction? Have you ever felt the power of God so rich and so thick around you and causing you to realize your lost estate? Recognize that the gospel message is being preached right at you to the point that you tremble. because you knew it was a mighty God getting a hold of your heart. It's no wonder under these conditions that we read the words that Felix trembled. And you would think that under such conditions that a sinner would gladly receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. But he did not. Something happened. Listen, while Felix, this governor who had had a private audience with the Apostle Paul, while he was in the very grasp of a Holy Spirit conviction, he made the decision not to reject the gospel outright, because I believe with all my heart, he believed every word that he had heard from the man of God. I believe that. I believe he had believed it because we see his response. He trembled. He didn't tremble because he was afraid of Paul. He trembled because he knew the Spirit of God had spoken to his heart about his condition. He didn't reject it outright because I believe with all my heart, he believed every word the man of God said. And yet he was able to make a decision to put it off until God's Word tells us more convenient season. When we read the Word of God, we do not read that convenient season ever came for the apostle, for Felix. As I was meditating on this passage of Scripture, I was thinking about his situation and how that it just seems so logical. By the way, for those of you that have Calvinistic leanings, I'm telling you, salvation is always a choice. Always a choice. Here's a man who, under such deep conviction of the Holy Ghost of God, made a choice to say no. As I was meditating on it, I asked myself this question. That in such a case as Felix, where a man would literally tremble at the inward influence of the Holy Spirit, where an individual would know that he's come face to face with certainty the workings of the mighty God of heaven, that in such a condition, at the inward influence of the Holy Spirit, what outward influence would keep a person from receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? None of us, when we read this, could think of any reason why Felix would not receive the Savior. I'm telling you, it's been set up. It's a God-ordained meeting for Felix. And so I asked myself, when an individual would literally tremble at the inward influence of the working of God, the inward influence of the Holy Spirit of God, what on earth, what outward influence would cause them to say, not now, not now? And I believe God showed me a truth that I believe is just as relevant today as I believe it was in Felix's case. And I want you to hear this message this morning. We see that according to this passage in Acts chapter number 24, that according to this passage, his private audience with the Apostle Paul was not completely private. The Bible tells us in verse number 24, someone was with him. Verse number 24, the Bible says, and after certain days, Felix had given Paul basically liberty there under his leadership, allowed people to come and see him, spend time with him, just basically he was allowed to do so much. And after just a few days, Felix, the Bible says, came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess. And the Bible says he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. His private audience was not completely private. The Bible teaches us here that his wife was with him. Might it have been that the only outward influence that Felix was concerned about was his wife's opinion as to his decision? Might it have been that as Felix stood there trembling and he heard the word of God and recognized his condition and knew that he needed to make a decision for Jesus Christ and believe on the Messiah, that something in his mind caused him to relate to his wife and what she would think about his decision? Yes, I believe that happens every day. I believe that happens in every service. And it caused Felix to say, looking over at his wife, "Not now, not now. But when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." And you must understand that when it comes to outward influence, understanding the power of God working on the inside of Felix, the only logical explanation for his outward reasoning to say no would have only been the person of his wife and her thoughts. Listen, I believe it happens every day. Let me give you two things real briefly. Number one, listen, a thought prompted. In this valley of decision where a choice is made concerning where he would spend eternity, I wonder if the governor Felix considered his wife worth going to hell for. If in fact it was his concern for what his wife thought, if that was the reason that he said no, I wonder if we could ask him today, is your wife, Drusilla, is she worth you going to hell? And then a question for you. Who would you go to hell for? In here this morning, who is it that when the invitation begins and your eyes are closed and the Spirit of God begins to deal with you, who is it that comes to your mind and says, "Man, what will they think? What do they think? What are they going to think of me? What are they going to say? What are they going to believe?" Who in here this morning would you go to hell for? Because I believe this takes place at every invitation. Listen, the Bible teaches us very plainly that the moment you feel the draw and the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God concerning your salvation, that now is the accepted time. That today is the day of salvation. You don't realize it's the sweet word of a gracious God that's moved on your heart to allow you to realize your hopeless condition. And you'd be concerned about what somebody else thinks. You're saying, "I'm willing to go to hell because I'm worried about what they think." In other words, they are worth going to hell for. Truth of the matter is that there are and will be countless souls living in eternal fires of hell because there were people in their lives that they considered worth going to hell for. Because they were so concerned about what they thought that they lived their life in a condemned state and never trusted Christ. And as Felix, they continually say, because they worry about what somebody else says, "Not now. Not now, not now. There'll be a better time. I have a more convenient season." We don't read that ever came. And it may never come for you.
Right, amen.
I know that it may sound harsh and even absurd. But listen, whenever you feel as Felix felt, that conviction of the Holy Ghost of God concerning your lost and therefore hopeless condition. And immediately your mind takes you to someone in your life in which you are concerned about their response to you getting saved. Then in fact, you are deciding whether or not that person is worth going to hell for. What types of people would be caught up in this trap? What types of people would be caught up in this situation, this bondage? I believe people that were brought up in church might be in this kind of bondage. To have to admit to those you love, to those that you've been around, that you've been going through the motions as a saved person, but in fact you are not saved. Maybe it's a mother, maybe it's a father. You're brought up in church. They loaded you up in the car when you were a child, and they brought you to church every Sunday and every Sunday evening. Every Wednesday, they made sure that you heard the gospel message. You've been there. You've heard the message. They tell others that all of their children are saved, and they praise God because you're saved. The truth of the matter is, you're not saved, but you're brought up in church, and for fear of what mother, father may think, you'll reject the gospel message and pray for a more convenient season. I believe those who have made past professions that have been false, you could be caught up in this. Listen, salvation is not, you don't have to be saved but once, but you do have to be saved once. And God's Word teaches us what salvation is, and many, many times, and myself included, you can know the gospel message and even know how to receive Christ as Savior, but possibly have never received Christ as Savior. I tell people, don't die and go to hell knowing how to go to heaven. Get saved. Get saved. Those that have made false professions, I tell people, listen, I'd rather you go through the motions 100 times and get it right once than to go through it once and hope for the rest of your life that you're all right. But have no assurance, no peace, no joy, no power. Those that have made false professions, you could be caught up in this. Because right away you think, man, if it's a teenager, you may think, man, I've done this several times, what are they going to think? Maybe it's an adult that says, man, everybody knows that I struggle with my assurance of salvation, and they go through the motion, and their thoughts might be, what are they going to think? You could be caught up in what I'm talking about here this morning. Thirdly, those who are in various places of leadership, you can be caught up in this. I mean, after all, you're a leader. I mean, after all, you've experienced a place of leadership where you presented the gospel to people and they've responded and they've gotten saved. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of God reveals to you that you're not saved. And because of your position as leader, you may worry about what those under you would think of you. Concerned about what they think and reject the gospel. When I think about those in leaders, I think about parents. You brought your children up in church. They've been saved. They've gone on and lived for the Lord. All that's great, but then you realize that you're not saved, and you look at your and when you say, "Man, today's the day God spoke to my heart," your thoughts may go to, "What will my children think?" Listen, as a pastor of the church, you can imagine how awkward it might be for the pastor to stand up and listen and say, "I got saved today." It'd be awkward. But listen, many pastors do just that. They find that they've gone, I've heard of missionaries getting saved on the mission field. And no doubt pastors getting saved in the place of preaching the gospel, and how that they could be in that position where they'd say, for fear of what people think, I'll just continue on in my lost estate. Die and go to hell. Worrying about what someone else thinks. I think about youth directors. Brother Jimmy's our youth director, and how that if the Spirit of God ever touched his heart about his salvation, how that in his position as a leader over the youth, how it would be very difficult for him to confess that I need to get saved. His thoughts may immediately go to, what will my teenagers think? And workers of all kinds in various places of leadership. And not only those leaders, but how about this, their wives. And their children. I wonder how many preachers' kids are going to end up in hell because they didn't want to embarrass their parents concerning their lost condition. I wonder how many preachers' wives. Have never said, like Miss Joanne said, I'm not going to hell for anybody. And all of these in bondage. Fourthly, those who feel the need to be accepted, I think of teenagers, to stand up and to be strong and to recognize I need to be saved. Right away their thoughts go to my best friend, my peers, those in my circle, what will they think? And for fear of how they would respond to your decision to be saved, you'll say, not now. Not now, more convenient season. Who is it that we may consider worth going to hell for? Would you go to hell for your mother and father? You're in here this morning, maybe your parents are here. The Spirit of God gets a hold of your heart. Would you be concerned about what your mother or father thought to the point that you'd tell the Spirit of God, not now? Are your parents worth going to hell for? As a child, you say, I was brought up in church and I realized that I was not saved and I may have a very noble reason to say no. As a child, you may have a very noble reason. It might be that you don't want to cause undue attention to come to mom and dad, possibly making them feel like that they have failed as parents. For fear of that, you'll say no. Not now. Not now. For these types of reasons, listen, I would be willing, for that reason, you as a child would say, I'm willing to go to hell to keep from hurting them that way. Oh, beloved, because the case is seen in Felix that his wife was there with him, and might it be that the reason after all of that conviction that he said no is because he was worried about the response of his wife. Who might we consider worth going to hell for? Number one, parents. Number two, your pastor. Your pastor. Yeah, I remember whenever I made sure of my salvation. I remember when I got saved, amen? One of the things that went through my mind was as I knew that Spirit of God got a hold of my heart that morning. And I knew God was speaking to me and that was my Felix opportunity. One of the things that went through my mind was, what's my pastor going to think? And after all, I'd been coming to church here for some time. We started going to church in October of 1989, and I got saved in 94. All of those years. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Soul winning, Thursday night. Preaching messages. Going to Bible college. Second year in Bible college, teaching the 7th and 8th grade Sunday school class. What's my pastor going to think? I've been living a lie. He's preached to me for years. He's led me in the sinner's prayer. He used me as a sermon illustration concerning my testimony as a Christian. And now I'm going to have to go face him and tell him that I'm not saved. And I cannot do that. Some of you may feel that way this morning. And you, as Felix, might be tempted to say, not now. Not now. A more convenient season. He's my husband. Talking about the pastor. Miss O'Neill got saved as a pastor's wife Miss Joanne Hollers got saved as a pastor's wife. Countless ladies have gotten saved as pastor's wives. And I'll promise you that in most cases, it wasn't necessarily with Miss O'Neill, but in most cases, their thoughts were, what is the church going to think when the pastor's wife's not even saved? Thus, Miss Joanne's declaration, I'm not going to hell for nobody. You know what she meant by that? For Mickey Hollers. He's my father. My father's the pastor. My father's the pastor, and he's brought me up, and he's taught me in the way that I should go. And he's my father. How in the world can I go to my father, who's my pastor, before the church and declare, I'm not saved? But people do that all the time. I'm sure they do. I know how the flesh works, and the reasonings, the wars and the strife and all that's in a decision that's so weighty. My parents, my pastor, thirdly, my peers, my friends, my co-laborers in the harvest, people that I grew up with, people that know me and I know them, people that in which we fellowship together, people in which we've enjoyed recreation things together and enjoyed one another's company all these years, my peers, my friends, mine equal. Those that you may have witnessed to. Those that some of you have preached to. I was talking to Brother Derek and about when Derek got saved here a year or so ago, I don't remember how long, but I was talking to him. He said one of the things he thought about, one of the biggest concerns that he dealt with that day was what all of you would think. I know what I'm talking about because I have been there. My peers, my friends, what will they think? Number four, my partner, my spouse. I don't know that it was, but I don't know that it wasn't because of his wife's opinion that he told the Apostle Paul, trembling, not now, not now, not now. There's some in here this morning, listen, you don't have assurance of your salvation. The good news is you may be saved. Amen. The bad news is you may not be saved. And when you die, it's too late to make a decision. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. You need to make a decision for Christ this morning. This morning. Listen, wifey, I'm not worth going to hell for. And you're not worth going to hell for. Brittany, I'm your father. I'm not worth going to hell for. And I would hope every parent would have that message for their children. Fifthly, who might we go to hell for? Number five, our children. Our children. Moms and dads. Listen, mothers and fathers, I know you're supposed to have all of the answers. You're supposed to be the leaders within your household and you lead your children. But it may be that you find that those things necessary in a salvation testimony are missing in your life. God has revealed this to you. If you're not careful, you will put aside the conviction of God for your fear of how your children may respond, and in so doing, make the decision that they and their concern, their response are worth going to hell for. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10. Two verses in Matthew chapter number 10. verse number 36. In light of the message this morning, listen to these words. The man's foes shall be they of his own household. And watch this. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Might it be that your lost condition is going to remain that way because you are more concerned about mother or father, you're more concerned about son or daughter, you're more concerned about your friends, more concerned about that relationship that you have. Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew 19, verse number 29, the Bible says there, Matthew chapter 19, verse number 29. The Bible says, and every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Do you realize here that Jesus Christ is instructing us that there is no earthly relationship worth not receiving Him in our lives? No earthly relationship. No earthly relationship worth, if you will, going to hell for. Let me give you five things this morning. Number one, there is judgment awaiting. Judgment's coming, lost person. The judgment hand of God rests upon those that are lost. It's like a dark cloud that hovers over you that are lost, and at any second, the judgment of God will pour out upon you. As it is appointed unto man once to die, do you know when you're going to die? You listen to me, immediately when you die, the judgment of God is going to be on you. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There is judgment awaiting, number two. You that are lost will be met with eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. Understand that, lost person. This life, the Bible says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears a little time. You live to be 80, 90, 100 years old. It's a little time in light of eternity. And you're going to be met, lost person, with eternal judgment, just as that rich man in Luke chapter 16. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. In Revelation chapter number 20, look over there. Just hang on, I'll read Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. We know these words. The Bible says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. In verse 15, the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life. You know, those of you that have never received Jesus Christ, those that would say, because of my father, because of my mother, because of my children, because of my friends, because of my pastor, because of whoever. Those that have rejected Christ because of those relationships, your name will never be found in the book of life. And those that are like that will be cast into the lake of fire. Then if we backed up to verse number 10, the Bible says that the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Eternal judgment. Lost person, listen to me. God's judgment awaits you. It's eternal damnation. Number three, God so loved you that He made a way for your sins to be forgiven. The Bible says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, talking about Jesus Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God made a way. God in His mercy and His grace and His long-suffering and His goodness, He's extended the gospel message to every soul that you might believe. When He comes by your heart and it causes you to recognize your condition, it's His grace. You're meeting God's grace face to face. God has made a way for you to escape that judgment, that eternal damnation. Number four, you must receive Christ. You must receive Jesus Christ. There's no other way. I don't care what other religions tell you, God's Word is true. God's Word tells us plainly that there's not salvation in any other name. It's in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Jesus Christ. No other way. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, but listen, I've got a noble reason for saying no. I don't want to embarrass my mother. I don't want to embarrass my father. I don't want to embarrass my family member. I don't want to embarrass my friends. I don't want to embarrass my pastor. I don't want to embarrass whoever. It ain't worth it. You must receive Jesus Christ. I tell people this, don't let your sin sear be sin-seared. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. You must receive Christ. John chapter number 1, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says that He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, every individual, as many, I've received Him. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even in them that believe on His name. Felix, the Bible says he trembled. He trembled there. I don't know what man that's shaking. He knew. He just knew. He knew. He knew God had got a hold of his heart. Holy Ghost was beckoning. Paul was preaching. The Word of God was there. He said no. Wait for a more convenient season. You must receive Jesus Christ individually. Then number five, lost person. There ain't nobody worth going to hell for. There ain't nobody worth going to hell for. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody worth going to hell for. And in closing this morning, lost person, hear me. Consider these things. Number one, you are not going to stand before any man on that judgment day. It's not going to be, husbands, it's not going to be your wife you're going to stand before. Somebody say amen right there. Wives, it's not going to be your husbands. Children, it's not going to be mom or dad you stand before when you die on that day. Church kids, it's not going to be your pastor you stand before. It's not going to be your people that's influenced you for the Lord that you're going to stand before in that day. It's going to be Jesus, the Son of God.
Amen.
Or as the Bible teaches in Revelation, those that are in hell, it'll be God at the great white throne judgment. In which, very likely, very possibly, the very ones that you wouldn't get saved because of, they'll see you. They'll not be able to console you because you're destined for the lake of fire. You'll not stand before any man. Secondly, your worries, listen, your worries are almost always unfounded. The thing that I worried about the day that I got saved never happened. My pastor greeted me with open arms. My wife hugged my neck. People that I thought would be skeptical or critics didn't respond that way at all. What I thought would take place absolutely didn't take place. And those worries that you have are almost always unfounded. Number three, sadly, that conviction that you feel maybe right now, you may never feel again. The way you feel right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You may never feel that again. We see that Felix, after this, began to use Paul as a political pawn. And please hear me once again, lost person. There's no one worth going to hell for. Ain't nobody worth going to hell for. If you even think that you're not saved, I'd get saved this morning. I'd make it sure. I'd make it sure. I wouldn't play no more games. I wouldn't chance it. I wouldn't care what anyone thought. I'd say this morning, I'm coming to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Here in a little bit, we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to say, let's all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. And immediately you're going to think of someone. And whoever that is where you're going to make the decision. Are they worth me going to hell? And I'm going to tell you, I don't care who it is you think of. They're not worth it. They're not worth it. Let's all stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed.